Hello, podcast listeners. This is Dr. Fred Rivard with the Firearm Injury and Policy Research Program at the University of Washington on another of our podcasts. Today we're speaking with Nicole Asa. She's going to be a doctor. She's a second year PhD graduate student in the Department of Epidemiology here at the University of Washington. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, Fred. Happy to be here.
Thanks. So today we're going to talk about a study that you recently published, and it's about firearm storage practices. And you've taken a somewhat different approach using something called behavior bundling. Can you tell us what this is and why this approach is useful?
Yeah, so behavioral bundling, which is also known as behavior co-occurrence or clustering, explains how some health behaviors promote and reinforce one another, which can also be used to characterize how an individual's health behaviors are functionally interrelated. A benefit to investigating behavioral bundling is that when intervening upon one health behavior, subsequent changes in and reinforcement of other healthy behaviors are probable. Previous studies have investigated correlates to unsafe firearm storage, such as alcohol use, but in this study, we were really interested in the correlates of safe firearm storage. So with the goal of reducing firearm injuries and deaths, we wanted to take a different approach when assessing firearm storage practices. Since safe firearm storage is a prevalent preventive health behavior, we chose to investigate in the context of behavioral bundling with the goal of promoting and reinforcement of healthy behaviors, including safe firearm storage.
So this is an interesting approach. You know, are there any examples where this behavioral bundling approach has been used to look at prevention programs?
Yeah, so this approach has most often been previously used in the behavioral sciences. And one study in particular, which we use as a framework for our study, found that individuals who were more physically active compared to those who were less physically active were more likely to engage in other healthy preventive behaviors, such as receiving influenza vaccinations and HIV tests, attending medical checkups, and wearing a seatbelt. Additionally, other studies have also found that firearm owners who did not practice safe firearm storages also reported unsafe medical storage practices. So this approach has also been used to assess risk factors and chronic disease, correlates of unhealthy behaviors, and increased morbidity and mortality, along with obesity and substance use.
Great. So what data did you use, and tell us about the study?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we use behavioral bundling to evaluate the association between engagement in five common preventive health behaviors and safe firearm storage practices among firearm owners in six states. The five common preventive health behaviors we used were cholesterol screening, influenza vaccination, physical activity, primary healthcare visits, and seatbelt usage. So we hypothesized that there would be a positive association between engagement in the five preventive health behaviors and safe firearm storage. To do this, we used cross-sectional data from the 2017 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, which is a state-administered survey that collects data from residents in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and three U.S. territories regarding their health-related risk behaviors, chronic health conditions, and the use of preventive services. So the firearm safety module is optional in states and was administered in 2017 by six states: California, Idaho, Kansas, Oregon, Texas, and Utah. So based on the questions asked in the behavioral risk factor surveillance system, along with national health recommendations, we characterize a participant's engagement with each of the preventive health behaviors and engagement in safe firearm storage as either satisfactory or unsatisfactory. So to quantify the association between the overall engagement in the five preventive health behaviors and safe firearm storage, we used a composite score, which was the sum of an individual's total number of behaviors with satisfactory engagement. And then to identify the specific behaviors that may be bundled or more strongly bundled, we also evaluated each of the five preventive health behaviors individually with safe firearm storage.
So what did you find?
Yeah, so our final study population consisted of around 12,800 respondents who all reported having a firearm in their home and had complete information for all of the preventive health behaviors. So of the final study population, around 80.3% reported safe firearm storage. So first, we found that with each 1 point increase in preventive health behavior composite score, or with each additional preventive health behavior engaged in, was associated with a 3% higher prevalence of safe firearm storage. When looking at the preventive health behaviors individually, we found that always wearing a seatbelt while driving or riding in a car, or satisfactory engagement with seatbelt use, was associated with a 12% higher prevalence of safe firearm storage. The prevalence of safe firearm storage did not differ significantly among those who engaged in cholesterol screening, influenza vaccinations, physical activity, and primary healthcare visits.
Well, it makes sense that the use of seatbelts would be most highly correlated with use of safe firearm storage. How did you, in the study, how did you define safe firearm storage?
Yeah, so we defined safe firearm storage as firearms that were stored either unloaded or loaded and unlocked. Due to the skip patterns in the survey, we were unable to identify whether unloaded firearms were also stored locked or unloaded. And additionally, no questions were asked regarding storage practices of firearm ammunition. So we decided to use this classification scheme because we sought to identify firearm owners who took at least one proactive action, unloading or unlocking, to store their firearms in a safe manner.
I mean, it's great that we have these BRFSS data on firearm storage, but the questions we all know are not the most ideal questions. And it's also too bad that the CDC has made this optional. I hope that in the future they require it. So what do you think are the implications of your study?
Yeah, so we definitely agreed it would be great if it was not optional. This study, our goal is really just to lay a foundation for assessing behavioral bundling in the context of safe firearm storage. So our results provided preliminary evidence that supporting the presence of behavioral bundling between engagement in preventive health behaviors and safe firearm storage. However, the strength of the associations indicate that any influence these behaviors may have on safe firearm storage is limited. So it is possible that seatbelt usage is driving most of this relationship, and there could be other preventive health behaviors not captured within our data that may be more strongly bundled with safe firearm storage. While we can't make any causal statements for our results, we really encourage future studies to examine the relationship between other preventive health behaviors and safe firearm storage, and also investigate the mechanisms by which preventive health behaviors are bundled with safe firearm storage. And this concept overall could be valuable in promoting safe firearm storage by encouraging positive health behaviors.
So for me as a pediatrician, how can I use this when I talk to families? I mean, do I say, well, you should both, you know, wear a seatbelt as well as store your gun safely? Or do I say, if you wear your seatbelt, that's great. And, you know, since you're doing preventive health behaviors, you also need to think about the same thing for safe firearm storage. What do you think is the best way to use this information?
Yeah, so I think really just reinforcing that healthy behaviors engaging in like multiple healthy behaviors can help to avoid negative consequences. And so I think that a lot of people with like the common preventive health behaviors, such as seatbelt usage, people can really understand like what the consequence is if they don't wear their seatbelt. Really like reinforcing that storing your firearm safely is also a preventive health behavior that can prevent negative health outcomes. And just really that a person who wants to negate the negative health outcomes like should engage in those safety behaviors.
Right. Anything else, Nikki, before we wrap up?
Not that I can think of. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks very much for doing this interview today. It's really always great to see the great work that our wonderful graduate students are doing here at the University of Washington.
Thank you.